Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read, Psalm 31. We shall read at verse 14. Psalm 31 from verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. My times are in thy hand. In difficult times, in times of trouble, how do you cope? How do you respond to these times? What gives you peace of mind? Is it just to hope for a better future? Tomorrow, it will be better tomorrow. Or, like David, do you resign yourself to the Lord? As he says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. As he says in our text, my times are in thy hand. And David was indeed surrounded by enemies. He was weighed down by calamities. And yet he does not profess to be strong in himself. He does not claim to be able to overcome these obstacles of himself. But he committed himself to the Lord. He has one place to go, one place, one refuge to resort to. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. No, he is not trusting in his own strength, but he is trusting in divine power. Likewise, he knows that God is in control of his future. The times that he goes through are indeed difficult. He perhaps used to have better days, and he no doubt desires naturally a more hopeful future. But he acknowledges that his entire situation is in the Lord's hand. The times he lives in now are ordered by the Lord, and his whole future is in God's hands. My times are in thy hand. The rest of his time here on earth, and with eternity itself stretching before him, all is in the hand of God. And of course, this gives him confidence. Knowing that all things are in God's hand gives him expectation to believe that God will help him in time to come. He can indeed plead for deliverance, deliverance from the hand of the enemy when he knows he's already in the Lord's hand. But you see, what he desires above all things is found in the request that he makes in verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. What he desires above all comes from the gracious heart of God, his face and favor free. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Well, this is surely the desire of the Lord's people, that God would lift up the light of his countenance upon them. And as we consider this part of God's word this day, let us seek his face and his countenance and his presence as we consider first David's trust in the Lord. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. That is David's trust in the Lord. Secondly, David's times in the Lord's hand. My times are in thy hand. And thirdly and finally, David's petitions to the Lord for his mercy and his favor. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. So with the Lord's help, let us consider David's trust, David's times, and David's petitions, all in the Lord's hand. David's trust in the Lord. Clearly, David feels himself to be in trouble. Verse 9, we read, he says, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. Earlier he had said that he was in a net, verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. His strength is not in himself. His strength is in the Lord, and he feels that perhaps all the more because he feels himself in a net, in a situation that he could not come out of. He wished to be out of it, but he was in a net. He was in a turbulent atmosphere. Events weighed upon him, and his eye was weeping in grief. We read that his body is affected by it. And so it is when we are in distress. We feel drained emotionally, physically. We're not able to adapt and carry on as we would. We feel we cannot cope, and indeed, that's a good thing when a believer feels that he or she cannot go on without the Lord. We cannot really cope in a right way to the glory of God without divine strength. David acknowledges in verse 10 that his life, he says, "For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed." His life and his years surely tell us that this was not just a short period, but he was going through this for a long time. And his grief and sorrow that he felt within are being expressed with sighs and with groans, perhaps audible sounds that reveal that he is truly troubled. And he feels greatly weakened by all that he went through. "In my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity." And he does not claim here to be sinless by any means. He is not perfect. He sees his sin. And perhaps this makes the trouble all the more, and indeed it does with those who are truly the Lord's people, when if they can see some connection between their sufferings and their sin, that makes the affliction all the harder to bear. When we can see our actual sins to be the cause of our trouble and affliction, that makes the affliction all the more trying and hard for the believer. And David feels that his bones are consumed, that the bones are the symbol or the seat of strength within, and his very bones, the framework of his body is almost crumbling. He feels weaker and weaker. Well, this was no doubt a very humbling experience for David. And surely when we go through trying circumstances and humbling, humiliating circumstances, can we not at the very least trace it all to our pride? And surely the Lord is showing us the need for humility in all that we go through, the need of submission to his providence, the need of acknowledging our inability to do the least good without God's help. Here David is revealing his weakness. Here is David, a mighty man of valor. He was a strong warrior and to fight the Lord's battles, but here he is acknowledging his weakness. Surely we ought to acknowledge our weakness when we see our own sins in the light of God's word, and when the Lord brings us through trials and afflictions and we feel more than ever before we cannot carry on without the Lord's help. David also feels that he is a reproach among his enemies, verse 11. "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me." The people around him despised him. They considered him to be a disgrace. "Who wants to be around this man?" they would have thought. Or they would have thought even worse. We don't like him and we want to get rid of him. And you can see here that there is a progression of those who were opposed to him. First, he says his enemies. And everyone knows that the enemy is against him. But then he says his neighbors, just people around him. Then he says even his acquaintances, his very friends were against him. All to make him feel completely isolated. Verse 12, "I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. You go past the cemetery and then you remind yourself of people you've long forgotten, perhaps. Perhaps people that you should be remembering a little more for the good example that they set. But they're dead. They're out of this world anyway. And their bodies are in the grave. And out of sight, sadly, very often out of mind. I'm like a dead man out of mind. People didn't take notice of him. They didn't like him. They wanted him gone. That is how David felt. And that is sometimes how believers may feel. No one takes notice of us. No one understands my situation. Everyone else is different. My case is singular. I'm all alone in this. Of course, our feelings do not necessarily indicate reality. And though we may think it strange, we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial that tries us. But all of this shows the weakness of humanity and the weakness of the Lord's people. Their strength is not in themselves. They need strength from above. David also feels that he is a broken vessel. And that is what an earthen vessel is. It is of little value. Verse 12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mine. I am like a broken vessel, a vessel ready to perish, easily broken. And when it is broken, it's worthless, thrown aside. See how low David has come in his experience. It's a picture of the frailty of man, the frailty of the body. And that is truly what man is of ourselves, dust. We were formed of the dust and we shall return to the dust. In and of ourselves, apart from God, we are of dust and frail. And the Lord knows that. The Lord knows our weakness. And then we come to verse 13, leading up to our text. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. This is what their plan was. They devised to take away David's life. Perhaps it's speaking of the time of when Saul was persecuting him or Absalom. Clearly there are enemies who are plotting against David to take away his life. And they are using this particular means to carry out their plans, and that is slander. In order to achieve their goal and ruin David, they are slandering him to carry out their plans. And this is indeed a great trial for David, and it is a great trial for probably anyone to have their reputation smeared, to be accused of something even when they didn't do it, how humiliating it is and causing great distress. But David resorted to God, and he did not give in to despair. He chose, by grace, the only true alternative that will succeed, and that is, I trusted in thee, but, he says, in spite of all that I'm going through, in the midst of all these troubles, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Thou art my God. I trusted in thee, he says. Now, this word for trust is what we've pointed out more than once as that feeling or that sense of well-being, this sense or feeling of security, which results from having someone to trust in. And of course, for believers, they trust in God. And knowing that they have God, for their God to trust in, results in a sense of security and well-being. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. David knew he was safe. We might say, I was confident in thee. It's the same word used in that well-known promise, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He trusteth in thee. That is, in thee he is assured. In thee he is at rest. And the words are literally, I trusted on thee, O Lord. I rested on thee. Relying upon the Lord, I'm safe. and I'm safe when I rely upon the Lord. In Thee, he says, I trusted in Thee, O Lord. And when our trust is in the Lord, in Him, then there will inevitably be some measure of a sense of well-being, knowing who the Lord is. He is Jehovah. I am all-sufficient. And He who carries out His purposes without hindrance and will always be true to His word, to His people. David says, but I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. I said, this is something that he professed already. I said something in the past. What did he say in the past? I said, Thou art my God. Earlier here in this very psalm, he commits himself to the Lord. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Verse 5. And whether he's pointing, referring to that, or no doubt something even earlier than penning this psalm and saying that in his prayer here, he had long ago said to God, Thou art my God. As soon as he was converted, as soon as he had passed from darkness to light, he had professed God as his God. This was not something that he just recently performed, some recent exercise, but he had trusted long ago in the Lord. This is a strength to him, knowing that David has long ago confided in the Lord, and he will continue to do so. And he is, perhaps we might say, he is carrying out his resolve. I said it, this is my desire now, I resolve to trust in the Lord. But I trust in Thee, in spite of all of these troubling circumstances, I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. Thou art my God. My God, which brings before us the covenant relationship that God has with His people. He is their God. He's not the God of the heathen. He's the God of His people. He has entered into a relationship with His people, so that He is their God and they are His people. By covenant, God has bound Himself to be the God of His people, to help them and provide for them. And in this covenant relationship, His people are bound to love Him, serve Him, and to trust in Him. And as David looks to God as his own God, bound by covenant relationship to help David, so by this covenant relationship, David is bound to trust in God. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. If Thou art my God, I must trust in Thee. I cannot expect God to be my God and me go elsewhere for help. If I say that He is my God, I'm one of His people, therefore I am obligated to trust in Him. I'm bound to look no other place for ultimate help and safety but to God. Well, is this describing us? Are we one of His people? And if we truly are, then we are bound to put our trust in the Lord. If we're saying to Him that He is my God, then we ourselves are obligated to go to Him as our God and to trust in Him. Well, then it follows that since David is trusting in God and God is his God, that David's times are in God's hands. And that is what we consider in the second place, David's times in the Lord's hand. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. David's times in the Lord's hands. My times are in Thy hand. David committed himself to the Lord. He knew that he was safe in God's hand and that his times were in God's hand. If David's soul is in God's hand, well, his whole life is in God's hand. The whole course of David's life was in the hand of God. Now, the current of events that affected David's life, all the circumstances at every stage of his life, all the developments, all the unexpected situations, all of it, his whole life, his times, were all in the hand of God, in the power and direction of the Lord. Never at any time was something out of God's control. Not one moment slipped past without the Lord's direction. And notice how the word is in the plural. My times are in thy hand. Which brings before us the variety of conditions of David throughout his life. We often speak of different conditions that we and circumstances that we find ourselves in terms of times. There are good times, there are hard times. When things go well, when things go ill. When there are good times, there's very little to outwardly to make us worry. But when we talk about hard times, when things are difficult, when we have ill health, or when it is hard to make ends meet, these are hard times, perhaps even severe times in which people live. We naturally desire pleasant times, but friends, all times, good and bad, for the Lord's people, they're all in God's hand. My times are in thy hand, in his control. All is by his power, under his direction. The hand speaks of power, speaks of working, speaks of direction. What human beings accomplish is so often with their hands. And what God does in his people's life is by his working and his power. In God's hand, not in his enemy's hand. David no doubt felt sometimes that his situation was in his enemy's hand, but David says here, and he knows, and every believer ought to know, my times are in thy hand. Yes, the enemy threatens us, and yet we must remember that not only our times, but their times are in God's hand as well. Their very soul, their very heart is in the hand of God. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. The enemy seems to have so much sway around us. Yeah, we think about the great adversary, the devil. When we think about human enemies, we need to look beyond them. We need to see there is satanic agency. And that is the greatest conspiracy of all, when Satan conspires against God's people to destroy them, to ruin them, if he could. Although he is a defeated foe, and the Lord's people take comfort in that. But you see, our lives are not controlled by the enemy. Our times are not in their hand, not under their direction. David says, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. But not only are our times not in the enemy's hand, our times are not in our hands. All that takes place is not of a mere human device, but all ordered in the providence of God. All events come about by the Lord. We do make decisions, and these decisions do affect our lives. But still, our times are not in our own hands, but in God's hand. Even those things that seem to just happen without any seeming meaning, yet it is all in the control of God, as we read in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Yes, we must take responsibility for our decisions and our actions, but God is ordering all things throughout our lives. My times are in thy hand. And we read in Psalm 37:23, which the Lord's people may take comfort in, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So we consider our duty, we seek with sincerity that the Lord would direct us, and we seek to apply the principles of God's word to our daily lives, and we believe that God has shown us his will. We go forward in that light, and we take comfort that the Lord himself directs the steps of his people. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And all has been decreed, and all takes place according to that decree in the providence of God. As the day of our birth, so the day of our death, everything is in the decree of God and will not take place either before or after that point at which God has decreed. Our times are in his hand. And all takes place in his providence. God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions, from the greatest even to the least, as the Confession of Faith puts it. God upholds and directs and disposes and governs all his creatures and actions and things by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free and immutable counsel of his own will. And why does he do this? To what end? To the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. So we might make a plan and we might go to a certain place, but God had planned that from eternity. We might have a certain goal in mind and a certain activity that we expect to do, and then something completely opposite happens. We might have a whole schedule lined out, and suddenly something that's totally unexpected takes place, and our plans have to change. And it's a total surprise to us, but it is no surprise to God. Everything has been mapped out, and according to that plan, God will accomplish all that he has decreed in his holy and wise providence. My times are in thy hand. And God's people can take comfort in the fact that knowing that nothing is by chance, all is in the decree and providence of God, God also will provide for his people. He provides for all his creatures. He has ordered all things in the life of every person on earth. But there's a special providence for his people. He will especially provide for them in a special way through the Lord Jesus Christ, providing for their needs and above all to provide their spiritual needs. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, there is great comfort in this, is there not? To know that God is the covenant God of his people. He is our God, and our times are in his hands. As Matthew Henry puts it, and he is known for putting things very concisely and most helpfully, if God have our times in his hand, he can help us. If our times are in God's hand, he can help us, because our times are in his hand. And furthermore, if he be our God, he will help us. So we can all say, perhaps, and we should, everyone knows that their times are in God's hands, because God orders all things and it's all by his providence. If our times are in God's hand, he can help us. He is almighty. But knowing that he is our God, as David says, thou art my God, we know that he will help us. He will provide for us. And then he says, then what can discourage us? If God have our times in his hand, he can help us. If he be our God, he will help us. And then what can discourage us? Not a sparrow falls to the ground without the Lord. If that's the case with sparrows, Jesus said, ye are much more value than many sparrows. And no one will get sick without God and his permission, his direction. And that being the case, how much more can we say the recovery is in his hand, and the help and the strength along the way is all of his grace and power. My times are in thy hand. So when we consider our whole time, that is our whole life, it's all in God's hand, whether it's brief or whether it's long, whether we live a long life or a short life, it's in God's hand, whether it's a peaceful life or a life characterized by trials and tumults and difficulties, as we all know that there are different paths that we take, it's all in the Lord's hand. There was Naomi, as she went out full, she said she came back empty. But then there is Joseph, and he was sold into Egypt as a slave. How humiliating. But he ended up in that place as leader over the whole land. So as Matthew Henry says, our times are in God's hand either to embitter or to sweeten according to God's will. It's all in his time. All in his purpose. So throughout the changes of life, whatever we go through, all these changes throughout the time of our life, these various times, different times of our life, all in his hand. What a great variety of circumstances and conditions. It's not only the weather that changes, but we ourselves are changing all the time. In sickness, in health, in youth and old age, our life changes continuously. We may be concerned about hard times, job loss, loss of possessions, property, perhaps even our very lives. We hear about saving lives, but what if our life is lost in this world? But our life, our times, the time of life, is all in God's hand. All is in his direction, all in his wise and holy government. So when there are uncertain times, our times are in his hand. We face uncertainty now. But perhaps it's better to say things were always uncertain, but now we feel it to be uncertain. We cannot predict the next week and the next 24 hours is uncertain, but though we may feel that now more than before, it was always like that. We cannot predict the future. If the Lord will, we will do this or that. So at this stage in our particular circumstances, we feel things to be uncertain. We thought things were predictable, but now we know, we feel it to be so, that only God knows what will take place in the future. So when we consider openings in providence, or when we look at closures, what we had hoped for doesn't succeed, all has been ordered. Our times have always been in the hand of God. And when we find ourselves in those different paths that we mentioned already, we must acknowledge that the Lord has marked it out, and that the path and the time of our life that each of us travel has been selected by the Lord in his providence, and therefore we're to acknowledge that and to follow what Christ has said to Peter. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. We have our own duty set before us, which is revealed ultimately in the Word of God, and that is what we're to follow. So when we reflect upon the various times of life, seeing here that David puts it in the plural, my times are in thy hand. These various conditions and the various junctures of life, at critical junctures, every part, every turning point of our lives has been in the Lord's hand. The day of birth, when we first started to walk or speak, the first job, the first employment, when marriage has taken place and career has been established, every pivotal moment of life has been in God's control and keeping. And that's that way it will be in the future. So we have great reason to wait upon the Lord. When we go through trouble, when we reach a fork in the road, our times are in God's hand. These critical moments, when things go wrong, when there's greater uncertainty looming before us, we must not deal with things on our own, but seek wisdom from above, knowing that, yes, God has it all in his decree, but there's a particular road for us to follow revealed. And we desire that would be the road and the way that we take. What is God's revealed will for us? So we must wait upon the Lord for more light, more clarity, and not in a passive way, and yet in an expectant way, knowing that we will not be disappointed. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. So when there are particular events in life, those times that we look forward to, let us acknowledge that those times are in God's hand as well. Some are hoping for marriage, some desire employment, and they're preparing for that by education. Some desire greater usefulness. Whatever mercy or activity or establishment or blessing we desire, it's in the Lord's hand. And for that particular mercy that God has promised, or that particular mercy that we think we need, it's not always a particular thing that we do need, but let us not be impatient. Let us acknowledge our times are in God's hand. And remember David himself. He exercised great patience, and he waited God's time. If this is pointing to his condition when Saul was pursuing him, or otherwise, he was not dealing with it on his own without the Lord's approval. He wanted to do all according to God's will, so that at one point when he was in the same cave with Saul, this was when Saul was chasing him to attack him and destroy him, because Saul didn't want David to be king. Well, there was a time when David was very close to being able to have power over Saul, and David's followers said to David, "Look, this is the day which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee." So David's friends were saying, "You can kill Saul, and then you'll be king now." David was saying, "No, I will not take him into my hand. I will wait the Lord's time. My time is in his hand. It's not in my hand. It's not my will, but God's will." And so there is David applying these words in so many varieties of ways. Our times are in the Lord's hand, so as to wait for his time for us, when he will give us that opportunity or that blessing that we desire, submissively waiting upon him to bring that to pass. Commit thy way to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. My times are in thy hand. Truly, it is the fault of human nature, and even believers, to go beyond the appointed time. But we need patience. We shouldn't be so ready to snatch at anything that might prove to be that escape or that deliverance that we long for, but to wait upon the Lord. The Lord Jesus was doing the Father's will, and he said more than once that his time had not yet come. Remember his brethren, they said to him, Why don't you go to Jerusalem and perform your miracles over there so that the whole world will know who you are? Jesus said to them, your time is always ready, but my time is not yet full come. The Lord Jesus came to do the Father's will. It was his meat and drink. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So he resigned himself to the Lord, to his Father's hand, into his care and keeping, and to the Father's will. So it should be with us, following Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to the Father as Jesus did when he gave himself up to the uttermost, to the Father's will. And of course, when he suffered and died on the cross, he said, into thine hand I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And so it will be, we trust, for the Lord's people, when they come to the end of life, and even every day they should be saying, as David says here in verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. As Matthew Henry says, we should not prescribe to God, but we should subscribe to him. That is, we should submit, we should yield. Yield to God's procedure and his providence. Of course we have our duty. We should be active. We're not saying that, but we must not quarrel against God. All is in his providence. We must counter the enemy. We must pray that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed. We need to seek out our duty and to learn from God's word what our duty is in our particular generation, but always submitting to God in his providence. My times are in thy hand. Yes, and he says, deliver me from the hand of mine enemy. And knowing that because his times are in God's hand, he can desire and encouragement, pray that God would deliver him from his enemy. Because, after all, his times are not in the enemy's hand, but in God's hand. So he can more hopefully, expectantly pray, deliver me from the hand of mine enemy. So we come in the third place, finally, the second part of verse 15, to consider David's petitions. David's trust, David's times, David's petitions to the Lord for mercy and favor. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. So David has revealed, he has shown us here the particular ground of his hope. What is the foundation, the basis of his expecting help? And that is the fact that God is his God, that his times are in God's hand. That gives him encouragement to say, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. He's praying for God's help from the enemy, knowing that God can help him because God has power in his providence, and God is David's covenant God, and so he will help him. Well, that encourages us to pray for God's help to resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. David had enemies. We have enemies. The greatest enemy, of course, is our own sinful nature, which we have to constantly battle against. Yes, the neighbor may give us a hard time sometime, and we should love our enemies. The devil may tempt us. The people in authority may not have our best interests in view. But the fact is, That is periodic, whereas our own sinful nature is a constant enemy to us, and there is a constant warfare. That is what we should be praying against constantly. Grace to battle against the old man in our own hearts, and to resist the world and its allurements and the fiery darts of the wicked one. God can help us through it all. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. And whatever persecution we have now, as little as it is, Whatever persecution we may face, as much as it may be in the future, let us follow the example of David. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and them that persecute me. But David also prays that God would shine on him with his face. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Perhaps David has in view the priestly blessing. Perhaps he is referring to Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22, where the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. See how God is gracious. And through human instrumentality, the office bearers of the church in that day, he communicates the blessing. He reveals the blessing of the Lord upon the people, which involves the Lord's face shining upon his people to give them peace. And this is what the Lord's people desire. This is what David prayed for, that God would grant to David his favor, that he would feel God is gracious to him. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Of course, we're not to think that David desired to see a literal face, a human face, but he desired God's presence, the light of his countenance to be lifted up upon David. And that is what we should pray for, that God would enable us to experience his favor, the consciousness of his nearness to us, and that we would know and that we feel in our souls that God is gracious to us, that we're his people, that he is our God. As David in another place says, say to my soul, yes, I know it in the word, I have it in my mind, but say to my soul, say it to my affections, I am thy salvation. Shine on my soul as the sun shines on my face today. May the Lord rise in my soul as the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings to warm the heart, to melt our souls in the sunshine of his love. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. And perhaps it is also not only in his soul, but in providence that he prays this, as he had acknowledged that God had already, at one point in his life, one time of his life, had brought him through trials in which he felt pressured and shut up. In verse 8, that God has not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. When David speaks about being brought into a wide place, it's the outcome of God's help and deliverance. When he felt previously he was constricted and restrained and penned up, pressured and shut up to the plight of others as he felt it. But afterwards, when the Lord helps him and delivers him, he sets him free into a wide place. He feels release and liberty. That's what we desire. Yes, we can pray for that in providence, in God's time. But be above and beyond that, what liberty and peace we enjoy in our souls and for the Lord's people when we're looking to Jesus, because he can still the troublesome circumstances in terms of our own feelings and say, peace, be still. And there will be a great calm, so that we have every reason to rejoice with David when he says, Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men, trusting in the Lord. We have great confirmation from God's word that there is laid up for us that which he has promised, which is in ultimately in heaven above, what God has in store for his people. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him so that they are safe, they are secure, and they have peace in believing. They look to the Lord as the city of refuge, where David says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." The city of refuge. We all need Christ. Are we looking to Jesus that we might have safety, not only from human problems in this world, but from the wrath to come? David says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." And the greatest city that can help us is Christ himself, the city of refuge. The manslayer fled from the avenger of blood to the city of refuge. It was a city that points us to Christ, whose walls protect from the penetration and invasion of the wrath of God. We are safe from avenging justice. In fact, justice demands the salvation of everyone in Christ. If we're in the city of refuge, we are safe, and God's attributes, his perfections, require our safety, because Christ died for all those who believe in him, all those who trust in him. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And this is the marvelous kindness, the gracious favor of the Lord for all those who are in a strong city in Christ, safe in him. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Is that you, friend? Are you looking to Jesus? Children, are you trusting in Christ for salvation? Are you praying that you would rely, that you would trust in the Lord Jesus, that he would surround you like a city's walls with his love and with his righteousness, that he would wash you clean of the precious blood, that you would be found safe with Christ, the friend of sinners? And if you're looking to Jesus, if he's precious to you, well then, be of good courage. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. David was hoping in the Lord, and he knew that God was gracious. And he says to all God's people, verse 23, "O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer." Let us not be proud and seek our own will no matter what, but let us submit to God and be faithful to him, because he will give a crown of life to those who are faithful unto death, following Christ. And then we need not fear what man can do. We are safe in the Lord's hand, because the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. So, if we're looking to God, trusting in Christ, we have infallible assurance from his word that we are safe. "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." Here's David's covenant relationship with God. He knows that God will help him. God is his God. He is one of his people. "My times are in thy hand." The whole course of his life is in the hand of God, which gives him comfort and confidence to pray, "Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." And he desired God's face and favor free above all things. "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." And if this is your desire and your prayer from the heart, you may be assured from the word of God that the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, may we acknowledge with confidence, as David did, "My time is in thy hand." Lord, that each of us in the congregation would be able to say this, not only knowing that it is in thy decree and providence, but in a special way for every believer. For the Lord Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, which tells us that he rules over all for the good of his people, and that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There is purpose in the life and in the times of all thy people. May they be encouraged then to look to thee for thy blessing, following thy will revealed in thy word, submitting to thy will and providence. Lord, may we be directed by thee in all things, that we would follow thy will, and that we would know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Bless us, Lord, and keep us safe, and wash away all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and reading from verse 34. But as for me, O Lord, Psalm 31 and verse 14. But as for me, O Lord, my trust upon thee I did lay, and I to thee, thou art my God, did confidently say, my times are wholly in thine hand. Do thou deliver me from their hands, that mine enemies and persecutors be. Thy countenance to shine do thou upon thy servant make. Unto me give salvation for thy great mercy's sake. Psalm 31 from verse 14, these three stanzas to God's praise. But as for me, O Lord, my trust upon thee I did lay. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.